This evening, continuing to listen to the Lord Jesus instruct his disciples in the upper room, we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14. We're going to read verses 15 through 24, and we're going to be zeroing in to focus our thoughts on verse 18. And as we do so, we remember the Lord Jesus on the in anticipation of his departure from his apprehensive disciples, is reassuring them that they will not be left alone. They will have a helper. The Lord Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit. And so with that orientation in mind, then we come to John to read John 14, beginning at verse 15. Here is God's word. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And that is God's word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, what a marvelous thing it is for us to have the Savior's own reminder that the words which he speaks to us are not simply his words, but they are the words of, Almighty God, the God who spoke creation into existence, the God by whose power the universe is upheld. And Father, we marvel that the speaker of that powerful word is our Father. And so we ask that tonight, assembling in your presence within earshot of your word, that we would recognize the voice of our Heavenly Father, that our hearts might be glad, and that we might believe and worship. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Helicopter parenting. You've heard of that, haven't you? There are all kinds of parenting modes. A helicopter parent, according to the internet, the source of all knowledge, a helicopter parent is a parent who pays extremely close attention to a child's or children's experiences and problems. Helicopter parents are so named because, like helicopters, they hover overhead, overseeing their children's life. Now, of course, that kind of parenting is questioned by some who would say, well, the helicopter parent and that hovering posture causes the child to become very, very dependent. Think about that as you listen to the Lord Jesus speak to his people. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. It is a sweet promise. Remember, the disciples are apprehensive. Things are assuming a very dark complexion. The disciples have reason to fear that Jesus is indeed going to be separated from them. They are anxious about that, and we almost sense the anxiety rising in their hearts. And Jesus speaks to them in the very simplest of terms. These are reassuring words for the disciples, and they ought to be reassuring words for us as well. A sweet promise, and it's good for us as the people of God to taste the sweetness of the promises that God makes to us. Someone, Richard Phillips, has said, we study and come to know Christ's promises, and our hearts feed on this manna by faith. And in doing so, we are renewed, strengthened, and comforted from fear. Jesus' desire for his disciples then and now is that we will be comforted from fear by the assurance that we are not orphans, but we have a God and Savior who comes to his people. He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't abandon us. And I'd like this evening briefly to reflect on that with you and just to lay before you the situation that we are protected from, and the solution that we're provided with. Two things that fall out from the from John 14, verse 18. Jesus says to his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. It's Dickensian language, isn't it? We think of Oliver Twist. We think of people who are mistreated, who are disadvantaged, who are abused, who are open to exploitation, who face all kinds of difficulties, who have a very bleak future stretching out ahead of them. They are disadvantaged. They are orphans. And the very idea of someone being orphaned causes us to have a little shiver of apprehension, a sense of concern for that one, and maybe for the one who's contemplating being orphaned. It really is something of an existential crisis. Oh yes, as Jesus speaks to his disciples, Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans." Jesus is not the Heavenly Father. It's good for us to remember the distinction of persons in the Godhead. The Son is not the Father. The Father is not the Son. But our God, nevertheless, is concerned that his people will not be left as orphans with all that that entails and with all that that means. Remember Elisha. At the time when Elijah was taken up into heaven, circumstances a little bit like those faced by the disciples in anticipation of Jesus' departure from them. And you remember Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2, as Elijah is taken up into heaven, Elisha crying out after him, my father, the chariots of Israel and her horsemen. And that sense almost of despair on the part of Elisha, because for all those years, Elijah was the one who stood rock solid in the face of apostasy, in the face of spiritual decline on the part of the people of Israel. He was someone who stood faithful as a spokesman for God. He was the one who was able to face down the prophets of Baal. He seemed to represent the very hope of Israel, more so even than the chariots of Israel themselves. And as Elisha saw Elijah taken up, that cry, a cry of despair, a cry of dereliction, my father, the chariots of Israel, her horsemen, and we sense on the part of Elisha, the loss that he anticipated with the departure of Elisha. Of course, we remember that Elisha found himself abundantly provided with the grace and strength that he needed in order to be a worthy follower in the footsteps of Elijah. Here's Jesus speaking to his disciples, and Jesus saying, I will not leave you as orphans. I won't leave you bereft. I won't leave you destitute. I'm not going to leave you at the mercy of forces that are greater than you are. I'm not going to leave you helpless in the face of adversity and difficulty. And what a vivid picture when Jesus speaks of people in that kind of situation as orphans, and then assures us that we will not be left as orphans. You see, that to be an orphan, spiritually to be an orphan, is a terrible, terrible plight to be in. And Paul, you remember, speaks or writes to the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians 2, verse 12, speaking of unbelievers, or speaking of their condition before they came to know the Savior, as being those who had no hope and being without God in the world. That's what it is to be an orphan spiritually, to be without God in the world. And yes, of course, God pervades. God is everywhere in his creation, but You see, for all that people might talk of everyone being the children of God, God is a father to those who have Jesus for their Savior. And to be in this world without God as father is to be in a perilous and dangerous situation, to be, as Paul says, without hope. And let me, this evening, as Jesus speaks to his disciples and says to them, I will not leave you as orphans, it's a good time for us to ask ourselves, do I have God for my heavenly Father? Am I spiritually an orphan? Am I someone who lives in this world without God and consequently without hope? Because even though all our other earthly and material prospects might be brilliant, if we have not God, then ultimately we have not hope. It's a dreadful condition, but Jesus will not leave his followers as orphans. He's not going to leave them as those who are bereft. How vulnerable to be without parents. How susceptible to all kinds of mistreatment. John Calvin speaks of the orphan as being exposed to every kind of fraud and injustice, all kinds of difficulties. Jesus does not leave his disciples as orphans. And we think of that wonderful 12th chapter of the Westminster Confession, the shortest chapter in the confession that speaks of our adoption and the glowing terms in which it speaks of the benefits of those who have God for a father. They enjoy the liberties and privileges of the children of God. They have his name put upon them. They receive the spirit of adoption. They have access to the throne of grace with boldness. They are enabled to cry, Abba, Father. They are pitied, protected, provided for, and chastened by God as Father. Jesus is resolved that his followers will not be in the condition of those who are orphaned. No, says Jesus. Here's the second thing. Jesus says, I will come to you. Here's the solution. The solution is that Jesus will come to his disciples. And the Greek verb is in the present tense. It comes into English as a future, I will come. In Greek, it's actually a present tense because the idea is of someone who is constantly coming, someone who's in a kind of coming mode, that they're always there. They just keep on coming. Jesus says, I will come to you. Now, the scholars have debated just exactly what coming Jesus is referring to at this point. Is Jesus going to come at the time of his resurrection? In verse 19, Jesus says, a little while and the world will not see me, but you will see me. Is Jesus talking about the time when he comes back from the grave? Is he talking about Pentecost when his followers receive the Holy Spirit, the other helper, the one who is like Jesus, who comes to continue to give the support and the help that Jesus gives to his people? Is Jesus talking about the parousia when at the end of time he will return for his church? And really, as we think on all of the possibilities, really we get the sense that Jesus wants us to know that he is someone who is constantly at the elbow, as it were, of his people. D.A. Carson says that we can't easily separate out those comings. Jesus promises, I will come to you not only at the end of the age, but in the person of the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, who is sent as a successor to Jesus and is in many respects a substitute for the Lord Jesus. You see, the lesson that you and I need to take away is that Jesus is not going to leave us as orphans. We're not abandoned as orphans. We shouldn't feel abandoned as orphans, because Jesus is, as it were, constantly coming to reassure his people. And you see, the suggestion is that when we start to get fretful, when we begin to become anxious, when we start to become fearful, Jesus is pledging that we will have reassurances that we are his people. Think of the child. There's that child out in the playground and running around with the other children, having a great time. And then that moment of anxiety. Where's mommy? Where's daddy? And of course, the parent watching very attentively, and the child looking around, and the parent moves in the child's direction, seeing the child's apprehension and anxiety, and then the child is reassured. All is well. I'm not an orphan. I'm not alone. Mommy's there. Daddy's there. Someone's got a watchful eye on me, and that child is able to go back and go on doing what she or he or she was doing with confidence that they're not an orphan. Someone who loves them is right there. And Jesus gives us the Spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit who is constantly with us, who reassures us that we are the sons and daughters of God. And Paul talks about that in Romans 8. You've received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In times of trial, in times of difficulty, in times of doubt, the Holy Spirit comes. He keeps on coming. He keeps on coming tirelessly to, as it were, tap the shoulder of our heart and remind us that we are not orphans. We have a God. We have a Savior who comes to us. How does he come to us? We might spend a long time unpacking that. Let me just give you some words from Robert Haldane that I think are very beautiful. Haldane says, "The Holy Spirit witnesseth to our spirit graciously, shining on his own promises, making them clear, assuring us of their truth, enabling our spirit to embrace them and to discover our interest in them." Now, do you hear what Haldane's saying? The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to reassure the people of God that they have an interest in God's promises, that God's Word speaks to them. They read the Scriptures and they recognize the voice of their Father. They remember that they're not orphans. Haldane goes on, "He witnesses with our spirit and all the blessedness of His gracious fruits." We see the fruit of the Holy Spirit appear in our lives, and we're assured that the Heavenly Father brings about that fruitfulness. He diffuses through the soul love and joy and peace, bringing with it a spirit of promptitude in prayer. The Holy Spirit moves us to pray, crying out, "Abba, Father." You see, when you find yourself in time of trial and difficulty, and you become fearful, and you pray, and as we've said here before, the Christian is not like the unbeliever who cries out, "Oh God, God help me." The Christian says, "Father, Father, help me." Because the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are not orphans, that we have a Heavenly Father. We pray, "Our Father." And we're able to do that because the Holy Spirit assures us that we are the children of God. And the helicopter parent. The helicopter parent needs to be careful lest he or she stifle dependence. The Lord Jesus, as it were, hovers constantly over his people because you and I need to learn that we are constantly dependent on our Savior. We're not able to be independent. And we're not able to manage by ourselves. We can't get through by ourselves. We are glad that our Savior keeps on coming, constantly watches over His people so that we're provided and protected in the ways that we desperately need. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus, for what He has accomplished for us, for the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of promise, and now a promise fulfilled that He is poured out into the lives of Your people and into the bosom of Your church. And so we ask this evening that we who are Your people might have many reassurances that we are not orphans, but that our God is constantly coming to us, drawing alongside us to reassure us. And Father, even as we think of the gospel implications of that, we pray for those who might be here as orphans. We pray, Lord, that those who recognize themselves to be without God and without hope in this world might turn to the Lord Jesus, and in Jesus Christ have You for a Heavenly Father. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.